Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to see all of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online family? Come on, let's hear it for them. And listen, if you're online with us right now, just let everybody know you're there in the chat right now. Just say hi in the chat. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. This weekend, we are wrapping up a series we've been in for the past couple of weeks called Winning the War Zone. We're talking about what happens here, the battle that happens here in our minds, winning the war zone. When we talk about what happens here and how we deal with what happens here affects so much of what happens out there. And so we're actually in week 5 of our series. And so week 1, we talked about, we got to think about what we think about. And we said this, that our minds, that our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. That's what we said. And that's true about life. We talked about something in our brains called neural pathways, where thoughts we have, repeated thoughts we have, actually create grooves in the brain called neural pathways, where these thoughts continue to go and they flow. We talked about that. We moved into week 2. We talked about something called cognitive bias. Well, these different ways, biases that we have really affects how we see life, how we see people, how we live these lives. We talked about that in week 2. Then week 3, we shifted. We talked about this very pervasive thing called anxiety. We looked at that, what it is, what it isn't. We looked at these stories we tell ourselves. And we talked about, we had a little science lesson. We talked about a little part of our brain that's no bigger than this. An almond, part of our brain, no bigger than an almond, actually looks like an almond, called the amygdala. The amygdala is a part of our brain that shoots adrenaline out, that keeps us, our hearts race, and we start beating, and we have all these stories we tell ourselves, these thoughts we tell ourselves. We talked about this, we talked about worry, and we said this, God sees you, God loves you, God knows you. God cares more about the things you worry about than you do. And so we're able to surrender some of those things to God during week 3. And then week 4, last week, Pastor Paul talked about doubt. And he said this, that doubt is not the opposite of faith. That doubt can actually be a catalyst, can actually be an opportunity to lead us into faith. So we talked about this. Now listen, this series has been, Winning the War Zone has been a powerful series. One of the most powerful I think we've ever done. If you've missed any of the weeks of this series, you can watch any of them online. Go to YouTube, go to MiamiVineyard.com, go to Facebook. You can watch any of them online and join us for any of these series. So here we are, week 5 of our series. And before we get to week 5, I want to ask you to do something, and that is this. Would you locate our message notes? Because you're going to want them today. Now, message notes are found virtually. They're all located on our Miami Vineyard app. So you have the app already downloaded. Go ahead and open the app. If you don't have the Miami Vineyard app downloaded yet, very simple. Go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, download our app. Or you can go to, in the seat backs in front of you, if you're in the room today, seat backs in front of you, there's a card there. Scan the QR code, and you can download our Miami Vineyard app. And the app's got some stuff on there today that you're going to want, so go ahead and download that app. And so here we are, week 5. We're going to wrap up our series today. I promised you today that we're going to hear today from some counselors, from some therapists and professional counselors, and they're going to talk to us a little bit about this whole idea of mental health. We've had 2 services already. This is our 3rd service, and it has been a powerful time together. Would you welcome, please, our team to the stage right now? Let's hear it for them. Give them a warm Miami Vineyard welcome. So this is a team of counselors from Wellspring Counseling. And we actually, here in Miami, we actually partner, our church, Miami Vineyard, your church, our church, partners with Wellspring Counseling here together, and we work together in partnership. And so as we begin our conversation today, I'd love for Miami Vineyard family to hear about you, maybe introduce yourselves, a little bit of what you do, and maybe some personal stuff. Tell us all of your deepest fears and anxieties.
We'll be here all day. My name is Tova, and I am the president and the one of the co-founders of Wellspring Counseling. We're 12 years old, and we do partner here. And just so you know about Wellspring, we now have 30-plus therapists, all different ethnicities and languages and genders and ages and skill sets. And so we welcome you. We do therapy telehealth. And in 5 locations, one of which is right here, an office here at Miami Vineyard. And so we just want you to know we do professional counseling, Christian counseling. All of our therapists are believers.
Yes.
We welcome plenty of people who aren't believers to come, any faith, no faith. But if you come and have a faith, it gives you a safe place to talk about that in therapy. And we also do programming. We specialize in trauma recovery, so we have a program called Bounce, which is free and county funded for kids who've been traumatized, one called Restore for adults who've been traumatized, which starts in 2 weeks if you're interested. Today's the day. And we also do horse-assisted therapy, we do art therapy, we do other holistic things, and then we also do mental health education from a Christian and practical and scientific perspective. So we have a radio show and a podcast channel, Wellspring on the Air. We speak in the community on parenting and couples and things like that. So that's very short Wellspring. You can find us and learn more. And then personally, my deepest, darkest secret. I do go to a therapist. That's and I encourage all of our therapists to go to therapists. We need to practice what we preach. We need to know what it's like to sit on the other side and let people, be vulnerable and tell the truth.
Yeah.
So we do that. But I am happily married, 32 years. I have 3 adult children, 2 grandkids, and that's a good part of me.
That's great. That's great. Yes.
So my name is Nicole Alfonso. I'm a counselor at Wellspring, been there for 7 years. I counsel. I also direct our Bounce Trauma Resolution program for youth ages 11 to 18 to work through hard things that have happened to them. I also do some hosting of our podcast, Wellspring on the Air. You can find it on your podcast channel. And I also do speaking in the community. I'm a supervisor for interns, and I absolutely love working at Wellspring. Oh, I'm married 15 years to an awesome husband. I have 2 kids. Yes, shout it out. so that's me.
And so wait. You said married 50 or 15?
15.
50. That's what I thought. I just want to clarify.
That's not really gray hair.
Yeah,
that's okay.
I just want to clarify. And you're also Latina.
Yes, I'm from Puerto Rico, where my Latinos over here.
But equal in the house.
My name is Eric Williams. My wife and I got married 20 years ago. We have 3 kids. We moved our oldest off to college this fall for the first time. And so I'm a therapist at Wellspring, been there a number of years.
Thank you. So glad. Thank you for being here today. So let's have a little conversation today about what we've been talking about, the battle in our mind, mental health, these kinds of things. So it seems to me, as I just look at culture, that this whole idea of mental health seems to be a topic that people are talking about now more than ever before. I'm hearing celebrities talk about their mental health. I'm hearing athletes talk about their mental health. I'm hearing leaders talk about their mental health. So is it seemingly something we talk about more than we did before? I mean, what's happening? What's going on? Is it a bigger issue? What's going on?
Well, newsflash, we all have mental health to take care of, right? So it would be normal that we do talk about it.
Yes.
But the thing that has happened with the pandemic is that it has really been a shared tragedy, a shared suffering for all of us. So now we're all in the same boat, right? Now we all feel lonely because we can't be around people. So all kinds of things that we experience, right? Anxiety, sadness, different things. And we're all going through it together. So it's more normal that we can talk about it and be vulnerable and be open. This is how I'm struggling, or this is how I'm struggling. It's like, okay.
And I think the pandemic helped normalize people tipping from what we would call normal dysfunction into, you know, now we're all stressed and we all kind of tip. So it made it okay. So I would like to pose for you guys to think about mental health as being on a spectrum. I think traditionally we've thought about it as there are people who are mentally ill and then there's me or the rest of us or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, so whether we're, so we don't see ourselves as maybe the person who can't function and schizophrenic and cycling in and out of the hospital, and so that's them. And we have a saying at Wellspring called, we are they. And we are all they, and it's because the mental health is on the spectrum. And so the spectrum is, if you think about when you go to the doctor for the physical health, and you get a clean bill of health because your blood work comes back fine, and there's nothing, no diagnosable illness, you get a clean bill of health. Or you have a diagnosable illness on a DSM and you get it diagnosed and you go get help. But many of us in that middle and the physical realm are not necessarily great health. You know, maybe we're really not exercising and could lose a few pounds and eat all the wrong things, that kind of thing. You know, and then there's the athlete, right? The person who proactively, intentionally takes care of their body and develops every last muscle and skill set. Well, I think the same thing is true in the world of mental health, and we don't always see it that way. So if you try, think about that. So there are diagnoses of mental illnesses. And by the way, 1 in 5 Americans at some time in their life has a diagnosable mental illness. It's kind of crazy. So we can tip into that realm where we are so off that we have a diagnosis and need maybe medication, things like that. But most of us are in this normal, dysfunctional realm in the middle, the big center of the bell curve, and others of us actually proactively say, I want to learn how to have a great marriage and do great parenting, and I want to learn to control my emotions, and I want to learn to be in the present, and I want to work through the traumatic things that have happened to me. So it's this proactive, and we call that the emotional athlete. So I want to encourage all of us to think of it differently, and therapy is really to help move people just a little up the spectrum or down, and most of us in our lifetime go up and down that spectrum. So we have periods where we're more mentally ill and periods where we're more healthy, and there's just something very normal about that. And the pandemic said, oh, normal dysfunctional people, if you put enough stress on them, they'll tip. And I think that has lifted that stigma.
Yeah, I think so. So back in the day, you know, my 35 years, back in the day, you know, we were told, you know, when it comes to any issues like this, just deal with it. Just get over it. Come on, grow up. But it seems now that things are different than that. But, I mean, are things different or are we just wimps? I mean, what is happening?
Well, that's a good question, and we've got some thoughts on that. My dad was a Vietnam vet, and so those were words that he would use. But I think this generation is different. Social media, you can blame it on that, but they're going to talk about what's going on. They're going to post about it. You're going to hear it on Facebook or Instagram. And so that's really a cultural thing that is fundamentally different than the way it was when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when my parents were growing up, there was no feelings talk, right? There's no, we don't discuss that. That's just, we just really ignore that. I call it unintentional emotional neglect, right? Because our parents didn't know how to talk to us about feelings. We don't know about feelings. And so really, it's not about being like wimpy about it or just, it's really about us being ill-equipped, not equipped to know how to handle our feelings.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's really what it is. And that's why Wellspring is here.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good. So continuing the conversation, so you all are followers of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Lots of people here today are followers of Jesus. Lots of people online are followers of Jesus. So when you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're changed, that we become new. The old is gone, the new has come. We become new and we become changed. And so if we're changed, why do we as followers of Jesus even need to deal with this stuff?
So when we accept Jesus into our hearts, the Spirit of God comes into us. It starts helping us see things differently, see things from the eyes of God, right? And we start acting differently, we start loving differently because now we have Jesus in us. But that does not mean that our past is erased, right? The wrinkles are not erased. We're not like the, you know, we are a sinful body, right? And so we need to still address those past hurts and pains. It just doesn't shape. Go away. And so that's where the process of sanctification comes in, where we start doing the things we need to do. We take action into becoming more like Jesus by doing the things we need to do, right? We do Bible studies, we read our Bibles, we go to small groups, and we do counseling, because counseling helps us know ourselves better and grow in our faith. Okay, and so we heal the things that are in the past that are maybe preventing us from even going closer with God. And so we need to incorporate that as a process of sanctification as well, is to get to know each other better.
I think it's very tempting as Christians to want to spiritualize our issues. And so particularly Christians can avoid their feelings because we feel guilty for having them. So I shouldn't be angry because I'm a good Christian. Yeah. I should always be nice, and yeah. I shouldn't feel sad, or I shouldn't feel these things. And so we're a little afraid to go toward it. But we have great biblical models about looking at that. We have King David, who wrote most of the songs and the Psalms in the Old Testament, and he cried out to God and complained about why isn't there justice, and why this and why that. And we have these biblical models, and Of course, Jesus being our best model, his good friend Lazarus dies, right? And he dies because Jesus delays getting there. And Jesus knows he's going to die. Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead. He knows all these good things in his head, and yet he shows up and he weeps. And I think it shows that is actually the normal human process. Just because we know God's view of things doesn't mean we don't experience the process of the pain. So when we tell someone, your loved one's gone, don't cry, they're in heaven, or we say, don't be angry when these things happen because God's going to, we spiritualize it and we rob it. And really, those feelings are God given to us
yes.
to help us
yes.
listen to the message of it. So anger tells us you need to stop something. You need to seek justice. You need to end that relationship. You need to forgive. Those feelings tell us things. So we as believers need to move more toward them and not farther away, because we can trust the truth that God, when we look at it honestly, he has truths that are bigger than all of it that can help us heal in that process. So,
yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right, I'm going to, Eric, pull you in on this one. So much of what we think about life, so much of what we, how we think, thoughts we have, is because of the family we grew up in, because of relationships we have, friends we have, truth we believe, the lies we believe, so much of the mental health is based upon the community of people we grew up within and around. So, question, from a professional perspective, how do you see the role of a healthy community and mental health?
Well, it's really important, and I think a lot of times people that have good community might not find themselves in a therapy office, or might not be there as long. One of the main goals of a therapist is to really increase the support system or the community of the clients that we meet with. So we want them to get involved in a small group. We want them to find mentors. We want to help them in those situations. For me, it was very important. In college, a lot of things were going on in my family at the time. My divorce parents had a kid together. That often doesn't happen for divorced couples, but it did in my family. And so I went to college, and God got involved, got me involved in a small group. And those men, I still am in touch with today, 30 years later. And so they hold me accountable. We ask each other hard questions. We ask each other how we are as parents, as spouses. And so the other thing I would say about community, the first community we have is our families. And so many of the clients that we see that come in our office, they're working through some of the pain in the family. And so my encouragement is, let's get that right. Let's help families produce kids that don't have baggage or don't have issues that they're working through.
Yeah, small groups are such a big part of that. I wouldn't be sitting on the stage today if it wasn't for small groups. 30, 40 years of small groups. Well, it can't be 40 because I'm only 35. So 35 years of small groups. It's been, they've been so instrumental in my life. The way I think, the way I process, because we all have stuff we believe that's just simply not true. We need some people around us who are on the same spiritual journey we are, who can help us navigate those things, can help have conversations with us and those kinds of things. So this weekend is a part of our small group kickoff weekend that you might notice some tables in the hallways if you're here in person. on the app. Every one of our small groups is listed on our app. And we'd love for you to sign up to be part of a small group of people, 3, 6, 12 people, over the next season of a couple, next 6, 7, 8 weeks. Be part of a small group and just see what a small group can do in your life. And what I'd love for you, what we're here right now is from somebody in our Vineyard Church family. Her name is Melissa. I want you to hear her story of being in a small group. Here's Melissa's story. Watch this.
My name is Melissa, and this is my small group story. My family and I came to the Vineyard back in 2017 at the invitation of a really good friend of mine. And at that time, we had been kind of dating churches here and there. And one day, one morning, Sunday morning, we came and Pastor Kevin was giving a message about community and how we need it. And it tied into he was pitching small groups that time. And I remember telling my husband, nudging him on the shoulder and saying, I feel like he spoke to me at that service. And I remember walking out and just directed to where the small group cards were. And I picked one up and I saw one that was near my house, and that's where I went. I've been there ever since. It's been 4 years. And at that time, I didn't know why I was there, truth be told. I walked in and there were these women from different age groups, older than I, different experiences, and I felt like a fish out of water. And to be honest, I had no idea. I was like, God, you have me here for a reason, show me. And less than a year later, he showed me. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2018, and aside from my family, in addition to them, they helped me through it, and they were there for my family. And I don't think I could have gone through it without them. They were there for food delivery, for prayer, even radiation in the hospital. I was alone for 3 to 4 days, and I would get calls. It just meant the world to me. And it gives you a sense of fellowship, community. God appears in small group. It takes time to build those relationships, but it means the world. And I honestly invite anybody to really just try it out. Even if it's close to your home, a little further from home, it makes a world of difference. And if the ladies are watching, I love you. Life is better when we do it together.
Yeah, so good. Life is better when we do it together. So I'd love for you to check out our small groups on the app. Sign up for a small group this week. So continue our conversation here a little bit. Now, just my opinion. It seems to me, and as I hear people talk and so forth, that sometimes I hear people say, you know, therapy, counseling, you know, it's more of a ladies thing. You know, they're in touch with their emotions more than we are, and, you know, it's not really a guy thing. Guys got to be tough and suck it up. So what do you say to that?
Well, it's just not your opinion. The statistics bear that out. If we look at the statistics, men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. Men are 2 to 3 times more likely to use substances or alcohol to cope. Additionally, 50% of men are more depressed than they admit. 60% of men have experienced a trauma in their lifetime. And if a father is depressed, it doubles the risk factor for their kids to have a mental disorder. So given all that, the statistics show in America that less than a third of the people in therapy are men. And so there is a real need there. And so you've been talking in this series about the battle and
yes,
the war.
Yes.
The reality is, men, would you go to battle on your own? Would you go to a war on your own? Would you do it without the proper equipment, without the proper training? the reality is we do need help and we need support. And there's seasons in our life, maybe not all the time, but there are certain seasons where we've lost a job or we're going through a breakup or a divorce where we need support. And so you can get that support. And so those are, the Bible even talks about that. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. So we are better together.
Thank you. It takes courage. Yes, come on. It takes courage. It takes courage for men and women to take a step and to say, I need some help processing this, whatever this is. I applaud anyone who has taken that step to seek some professional help to get the help that you need in the area of mental health. I applaud anyone that's done that, taken that step in this room and joining us online right now. So well done. Good for you if you've taken that step. Good for you. So how does a person... You know, how does a person know when they should actually seek therapy? I mean, we've made it very clear. If you've been at this church for any length of time, I've made this very clear. We all have issues. Everybody's got issues. In fact, why don't you turn to somebody right next to you right now, look at them and tell them, you've got issues. Go tell them, you've got issues. You've got issues. You've got issues. And now tell them, and so do I. Okay, tell them, so do I. So do I. Okay. All right. Look, we've all got issues. Okay. Welcome to the human race. We've all got issues, but how does a person know, you know, when just, you know, having some prayer time and having some healthy relationships, all these kinds of things will take care of those issues, or when they should actually seek some professional help?
So I think all three of us could give you kind of a quick list of things that might be triggers. If you stop functioning the way you normally do, so we have coping mechanisms. When they stop working and you're picking up new ones, maybe substance abuse or other things. So when you can't get up for work, when you can't show up, when you can't calm your temper, when you the normal things that work stop working, that's the time to go get someone to help you get back on track. That would be one.
You start isolating, and so you don't do the things that you used to do. Your friends, you don't hang out with your friends, you don't exercise anymore, you just stop doing the things you used to do. But really important, if you start really feeling like you give up, right? Like, I don't just want to not put effort into this anymore, I don't feel like life is worth living. This is really important. Like, you do not want to let this get worse and worse. And so it's important to state that the second cause of suicide, suicide is the second cause of death in ages 10 to 34. Okay, so This is really important. We don't need to let it get to
huge.
That, right? We're in a spectrum. All of us are in a spectrum. And so let's get to help before it gets that bad.
Yeah.
You know?
When those around you start saying, maybe you should see a therapist, you know, maybe you should talk to somebody. Additionally, we do a lot of marriage work. We do a lot of marriage counseling. And really, a lot of times, they come to us in crisis once it's been going on for years. So if you think of it more as Tova was talking about, more preventative, if they were to come when they're having conflict issues or communication issues or trust issues, it really just helps. You actually deal with it ahead of time versus when it's in the middle of a crisis.
I also think following major life events that are traumatic, a death of a loved one, things like that, PTSD symptoms would look like you can't sleep at night, you're easily triggered, you're at this high state of anxiety you can't bring down. You start to withdraw from life because things are triggering you everywhere, so I don't want to go here, I don't want to go there, I don't want to be, because you're trying to not get triggered. And that's actually just a normal physiological process. Trauma is curable, so if you're experiencing those things, go get help.
That's good, thank you. So look, I would love to sit here and talk for hours about this. Time goes so quickly, and we're almost out of time already here today. But I want to let you know this. You have, in that app, if you have the app open, you have the message notes open, there is in that app a listing of some healthy coping mechanisms that we can do just to continue and be healthy in our mental health. There's also a graphic we have coming up on screen that you can find under the More section in our app. Got that up in the More section, you can find this graphic as well. So as we kind of bring this to a close here today, you've got this list that y'all provided for us, some coping mechanisms for healthy mental health. So pick one.
Yeah.
And give us a couple ideas of how we can continue to have healthy mental health.
Yeah, we all need, like, different things, and they don't all work for everyone. So we just have a few things up here. I like the three C's. I think this could be something we all do, and that's when we catch, challenge, and change the thought we have. We shouldn't all believe every thought that comes into our minds. We really shouldn't. So we have to catch and say, is this true? Is there evidence to this? Challenge it with a more accurate thought, yeah, and change it to that.
Yeah, good.
You know? Yeah.
I like the five senses check-in, and this is about mindfulness. And so this is just a practice you can have. Get an index card, carry it around with your notebooks, and set your alarm 3-4 times a day and stop and say, what am I thinking right this moment? What am I feeling? What am I sensing in my five senses? And being very, very present. And for some people who aren't very self-aware, this just helps your self-awareness. For others, that mindfulness, as we would call it, actually helps calm your body down in the moment, as you just center in on what do I feel under my feet, what smells, what feeling, I could feel the air in here. Those things help us slow down and breathe. And so it's just a tiny little thing we can do that helps stay centered.
Yeah, you say self-awareness is a huge factor in this whole mental health.
It's a piece of resilience.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Eric?
Well, the one we talked about last night was fun and play. I know you might be doing some of that later when the Packers are on later. So you might enjoy that. That's what I'm going to be doing this afternoon, watching some football. It's calming. My wife says it's therapeutic for me.
Okay,
so we win.
Yeah, we're the rat race sometimes doesn't allow us to stop and have fun and be joyful, and we really do need to do that. So
have some fun, right? That's one of the therapies. Have some fun. So look. So you talked about football. You talked about having fun. So let me just one last question. Is it good for our mental health to watch the Miami Dolphins play? Is that a good thing?
Not the last few years.
It's going to be a good year this year. It's going to be good.
This year.
Tova believes. Tova's convinced.
I believe.
Hey, can we show some appreciation to our friends here today from Wellspring? Thank you so much. This has been so good. I want to pray for us for just a moment here so let's pray together. God, thank you for your presence in this place today. And in your place online today, whatever place or space you're in right now. God, thank you for your presence. God, I thank you that you clearly, in your word, you care about us as a total person. It's not just about our spirituality, but it is about our physical health. It is about our emotional health. It is about our mental health. You care, God, about all those things. And I thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we can talk about it, that we don't have to stuff it, that these are real issues and we can talk about it with real solutions. Thank you for professional people who have studied this and have trained for this, who can assist us and help us navigate when we come to these different seasons in our lives. Thank you, God, for that. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come now. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring healing, God. Some of you, you've wrestled with an issue in your life for years, and you have believed a lie from the enemy that says this is going to be your issue for the rest of your life, and I'm here today to tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell, that there is a God who loves you, there is a God who knows you, and there is a God who can heal you. Who can heal you? The Bible says this, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. God says, I will restore you to health and heal all your wounds. It's a promise from the Word of God. I will restore you to health and heal all your wounds. That doesn't mean we're never going to forget about what happened. The memory's not going to go away. But God can heal the pain. God can heal the pain. God can restore you back. That the purpose and the destiny and the calling that God has on your life has not changed because of what may or may not have happened to you. But God has a plan and a purpose for you. So come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come with your power, come with your presence, and bring healing, God, to our minds, to our souls, to our spirits, to our bodies. And I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.